Welcome, guys, to the Sportscast, November 14th, 2018. I am back from a wedding in New York. I was there all weekend, really busy, but I was seeing what's going on in college. I mean, in sports, all sports, not just college football. But we watched another blowout by Alabama. Even though, you know, these past two wins have been under 30 points, Alabama defeated Mississippi State 24-0. And to join us to talk about this huge victory, or was it huge, Justin Riley, welcome to the Sportscast.
Great to be here. I don't know if we it's huge. We covered the spread. Does that count as huge?
What was the spread for this game?
24 points, and that's what we got. 24
wow.
points, to be exact.
Now, of course, win's a win, but obviously there were some setbacks. What's going on with Tua Tagovailoa's knee?
Well, obviously, yeah, there are some definite setbacks, and a lot of people disagree with me leading up to this game about the difficulty of a matchup against the Mississippi State team, who throughout the season was proving to be at best inconsistent. But definitely when they were on, they were on. But a lot of folks felt that there would be no need for concern, that Alabama would go in there and score their usual 50 points, be back on track to doing what they do again. But I have my doubts just because of seeing just the injuries and being beat up against LSU. We had some offensive linemen that were hurt. Najee Harris was dinged up. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa was dinged up. And I'm getting kind of frustrated with the lack of truth, as it were, about the severity of this knee injury to Tagovailoa. Week after week, we're getting reports from Coach Saban. Yes, I'm getting on to Coach Saban. I know I'm probably, you know, being looked at as a non-believer now. Oh, I paid 5 years out of state tuition. I can say what I want. But we've been getting reports week after week. Oh, he's okay. He's fine. He could have gone back into the game. And that's what we've been fed. But he's clearly not fine. For several weeks now, he has definitely shown that he is having some limitations with that knee. He's in obvious pain, and his throwing ability has been limited as well. He's not quite as crisp. He's not hitting the receivers like he normally is. He's missing throws, just been way off target, and just his game has been changed significantly. We're being told every week he's fine. No, he's not. He was on the sideline this past game against Mississippi State in just obvious pain. He was on the exercise bike and could barely even turn the pedal without wincing in pain. Come on, it's more than just a situation where you throw some dirt on it and send him on his way. It's not. And then again, you know, I believe along with that, we're not being told fully the severity of Jalen Hurts' injury. You know, after he injured himself in the Tennessee game, we were told he had a high ankle sprain, had minor surgery. That's okay. He'll be back for LSU game. LSU game comes rolling around. He can barely walk out there on his own. He's in a boot. And we were told he would be used only in emergency situations. He'd be back for Mississippi State. Mississippi State game comes rolling around. Still the same situation. He can barely move around. Only going to be used in emergency situations. So, you know, my question is, what's the truth? What is going on? Because we're reaching the critical point of the season. We got two games left before the SEC championship, and both of our quarterbacks are having major setbacks. And we've got a third-string quarterback, and Mac Jones, who's coming in, and I'm sorry, he's not quite ready to take the reins of this Alabama offense and go against the defenses that he's going to be facing against, you know, Auburn. Say what you will, Auburn still has a pretty decent defense, and it's going to be the Iron Bowl, and then certainly not ready to take on the defense of a Georgia. So it's time to be a little concerned. Yes, we are very dinged up. and it was evident against Mississippi State. Now, this game is a tale of a couple of quarters. Alabama got off to a very fast start and just pushed around the Mississippi State defense, and it looked to be that Alabama came out there with purpose and a drive that many didn't think they were going to have going into the game, and quickly put points up on the board, and all of a sudden it just stopped, completely stopped. Tagovailoa was being hurried. He got sacked four times. I will say a couple of those times that the penetration was getting to him was because he wasn't stepping up into the pocket. He was holding the ball too long, and he was causing his own dismay. He did throw another interception, and, yeah, this is a big deal because he's only thrown two interceptions the entire year. So for other quarterbacks, you're like, yeah, who cares? But, you know, for Tagovailoa, he's been anointed the golden boy and because he's been just on point the entire year. So, and he only passed 14 of 21 for 164 yards and a touchdown. So not the big numbers that we are certainly used to by any means. Josh Jacobs carried the offense, had 20 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown, and two receptions for 12 yards and a touchdown. Damian Harris had 14 carries, 53 yards and a touchdown. And the only other offensive highlights was that Irv Smith Jr. had five receptions for 70 yards. Oh, and we finally got some action out of our kicking game. Joseph Bovis, 49-yard field goal in the second half because our offense couldn't do jack squat. So, but then on the other side of the ball, the Alabama defense was just lights out. I mean, they were bloodthirsty. They just came in there and just completely devastated Nick Fitzgerald and the entire Mississippi State offense. They actually held Nick Fitzgerald to a season low negative 23 yards rushing, and that usually doesn't happen to him. And again, Quinnen Williams dominated and led the way. Matter of fact, because of his dominant performance this week and then the previous weeks, he is now, get this, he is in the top five Heisman watch right now. That's right, a nose tackle, defensive lineman from the University of Alabama, is one of the candidates, top five candidates for the Heisman Trophy. But along with him, Dylan Moses had a solid game, and so did Isaiah Buggs. The defense was Sac City, which was absolutely amazing to see the intensity they played series after series and didn't look like they were fatigued or let up at all. They let up at all, even though the offense was pretty much inept for the majority of the second half of the game. But God, give it up to Mississippi State, man. Willie Gay Jr., Jonathan Abram had nine tackles apiece. Willie Gay Jr. is the one that had that interception against Tua. Jeffrey Simmons also wreaked havoc, and he was virtually unblockable, as was Montez Sweat. It was just amazing to see that defense. Matter of fact, they probably have to have one of the better defenses in the country. They really don't get the props they deserve, and they may have the best defense in the country. You know, calm down, Alabama faithful. They are good. They are worthy of that. And it really looked at times, well, a lot of times, that Mississippi State's defense was anticipating each play call because they were right there for every play, disrupting absolutely everything. So it was really a hard game to watch. I figured that we would struggle, and I figured that it'd be one of those little ugly wins, and I didn't think we'd score 50 points, but it was just really, really disconcerting to see the way we did do it. And I do have to bring up the elephant in the room, because I'm sure that everybody else is going to bring it up, and definitely the media is, about the referee's poor play calling. I got to admit that, you know, two of those play calls were absolutely awful that went in Alabama's favor. Damian Harris did fumble the ball, but they didn't review it. Alabama continued the drive and scored. And the other one that really changed the whole flow of the game was the phantom block in the back call against Shaheen Carter. Touchdown was called back, and ultimately Mississippi State did not do anything. So that was brought up a lot, but Mississippi State still didn't do enough to put themselves in position to win. But I'll let you talk, Santiago. I went off of my rant. I'm curious to see what you think.
Yeah, here is my takeaway. Mississippi State, their penalties helped cost opportunities to make this game close, as Bulldogs couldn't crash in on several promising drives. Kylan Hill had a 38-yard run, but the running game couldn't get much going on beyond that. And my takeaway for Alabama is that they didn't have a play longer than 25 yards on offense. Defense had 10 tackles for loss, and Alabama didn't commit a penalty. So that was pretty much a highlight for that match. So what have you heard about Jalen Hurts? Is he more healthier than on Tua, or they're both on the same page?
Well, to be honest with you, which adds to my frustration even more, is we're really not hearing much at all about his update, his health status. Really no idea as to how much we're going to see him in the Citadel game. And Nick Saban is already saying that Tua is going to be playing in the Citadel game, which I'm going to be flat out honest with you. He has no business taking a snap in that game. He needs to sit. He needs to heal, because the long term is far more greater of importance.
I don't think the scouts would care about the Citadel game whatsoever.
No, not at all. And you know, even, it's not going to affect his Heisman Trophy run or pursuit either.
Even Mac Jones could start in this game.
What's that?
Even Mac Jones could start in this game.
Well, absolutely. If he can't play well enough to beat Citadel, they really need to review their ideals for a scholarship. But to be honest with you, I mean, if he has to carry the team, so be it. Matter of fact, if Tua has to play, then just hand the ball off. We got three stud tailbacks, if not four, that are perfectly capable of carrying the load.
Well, anyways, looking forward to the Citadel game. What do you expect? Who is Citadel? What are your thoughts about this game?
Citadel. I had to do a little bit of digging to find some info about them.
They're a military school, actually, apparently.
They are a military school. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm Arena-affiliated. But they are FCS team. They are playing the same division as Samford. They are actually seventh in their division. They're 4-5.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I mentioned Samford. They just came off a big win against Samford, 42-27. Their offense is primarily run offense. Not much, you know, passing exists for this offense. Quarterback Brandon Rainey ran for 206 yards and a touchdown the previous game, and passed for 88 yards. And then Lorenzo Ward had 88 yards rushing as well. let's see. A little bit of homework on this team. Let's see. They give up 412 yards per game. So if Alabama has a problem with points, something's wrong. They also give up around 30 points per game. Their defense is led by Willie Eubanks at 67 tackles, and just below him, Noah Dawkins, 59 tackles. Basically seeing really shouldn't have much of a problem. These games, they're kind of dangerous, because you come in there, you're not exactly fired up, not exactly, you know, just hyped to play. So you tend to allow these teams to hang around a lot longer than you should, thus leaving in the starters and the major impact players in longer than they should, and then also leaving the door open for possible injury. So Alabama needs to come out, put up 50, and be done with it.
All in the first quarter.
Yeah, if possible, why not?
Now, Citadel is a team in South Carolina, military college. I've been looking at their schedule. Like, the only teams I recognize is UNC, Samford. I've heard of VMI. I mean, these are small. I mean, this team is a minnow. I mean, UCF could have played against Alabama. I mean, this was a open spot schedule that UCF could have taken.
Absolutely. I guess we'll get to that debate later on.
Justin wants to play UCF eventually in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I would absolutely adore such an opportunity.
Let's look at the other games that happened this weekend. What were your thoughts about Georgia beating Auburn 27-10?
Not quite the high-scoring game that a lot of people were hoping for. Rivalry game, so you really shouldn't expect much. Auburn did put up a good fight for the majority of the game, and Georgia did what I predicted them to do, and that was pull away in the second half. So really no surprise there. And again, DeAndre Swift went off for another game, and you're really starting to see him pick up an incredible pace now that he is 100%. Doing things that many people expected him to do this season, but he was hindered for the first half of the year, but now it looks like everything's A-okay, and he actually is picking up some momentum in Heisman talk, so it'll be interesting to see how he finishes up the season.
Yeah, and another big game that people thought would be closer was Clemson beating Boston College 27-7. It might have been the toughest match for Clemson before the end of the season. What were your thoughts on that game?
Well, it was a little bit close for, you know, a good portion of the game. And it's like one of those little meh games that, you know, Clemson really didn't have to really get up for. And they did just enough to get the win. Obviously, Clemson is just way, way too strong, way too talented to have any real problems with BC. I mean, BC is a good team, get me wrong, but Clemson's playing a whole nother level, and in the second half that they really pulled away. I mean, they didn't score the beauty points that people would have liked to have seen, but who cares? I mean, they got the win and they're one step closer to a playoff.
Let me read you the rankings as of last night, actually. Number one is Alabama, two Clemson, Notre Dame is number three, Michigan fourth, Georgia is fifth, then Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. How do you view the top 10?
Still, other than LSU, I still think the top 10 is pretty spot on. Kind of surprised, you know, LSU is still there. They are definitely being given quite a prop there by the playoff committee, and does leave room for something to happen if there's possible chaos. Other than that, I think it's pretty spot on right now. There's really nothing that, well, I would say maybe West Virginia could move ahead of LSU with based on the way they're playing here lately. And they really do have a great opportunity that's being set up for them to move higher. As the season progresses, that matchup against Oklahoma is going to be very important. And as long as West Virginia doesn't stumble along the way, it's going to make for a very exciting matchup that could possibly help shape up what the playoff rankings may be like come the end of the season.
You're right. Like, LSU has to depend, like, their top, like, the six top teams to lose some way. Pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, chaos would have to happen, but it still leaves an open door for them. You know, yeah. Oklahoma loses, Georgia loses, if Michigan loses, Notre Dame loses, all of a sudden, here comes LSU. And to be honest with you, I think they could move up against Notre Dame because Notre Dame's schedule, other than Syracuse this weekend, really isn't that much to brag on, or really isn't really strong enough to keep them at a top spot if they should lose. There's really no rebound game, mainly because there is no conference championship game for them. So they have to win every game at this point to stay in.
You got to win out to make it out and maybe, you know, see some chaos up top. College football rankings, nothing major happening, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I mean, I'm still with Justin. We'll see what happens after the conference championship games. That's where you'll see more clarity. So let's get into game predictions, shall we?
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go Syracuse at Notre Dame.
Syracuse at Notre Dame, easily the biggest game of the weekend. Why on earth is college football game day not going to be there? Who knows? Because they still have this great love affair with UCF. So, I think which will continue to add to their chaos that they're bringing every week, saying that they're undefeated. They're the only team winning X amount of games undefeated. Okay, great. You're playing against homecoming teams. The other team that's going to be going to your conference championship is 5-5. Great. Enough. Okay, we need Notre Dame and Syracuse to be the feature game of the weekend because it will greatly affect the outlook of the playoffs. Really exciting to see this game. Really going to see how good Notre Dame is this weekend. Syracuse is definitely an up and coming team, doing great things this season for them. Eric Dungy leads that offense. He's got 2,193 yards passing with 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. But he's also got another 690 yards rushing, so with 12 touchdowns. I mean, this kid, you got to find some way to slow him down. And I think Notre Dame, his defense, as good as they are, they're going to have their work cut out stopping him. When Eric Dungy's not toting the rock, the leading rusher is Mo Neal, 716 yards, 5 touchdowns, and kind of have a balanced offensive attack. Nothing really that comes off the page in the receiving category, but they average 44 points a game, so they're able to put some points up on you, and it's really an exciting offense to watch. Now, Notre Dame, on the other hand, Ian Book is going to be starting this week. It looks like he's going to be okay coming off that injury. And I guess Brandon Wimbush will be waiting on the wings. He had a good performance this past weekend against FSU with 3 touchdowns. And if he has to come in for EM Book, he could provide, you know, a little bit of relief. But then again, he's a really inconsistent player. One play he's on, the next 5 plays he's off. So you really don't know what you're going to get with him.
That's not good.
EM Book's actually – no, it's not good. Ian Book's actually one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. He does actually lead the nation in completion percentage. It's 74.5%. Does have 1,824 yards passing with 15 touchdowns. And behind him is Dexter Williams, which he's a very impressive running back, had 202 yards against FSU. And then for the season, he's got 770 yards with 10 touchdowns. The only thing that kind of bothers me about Notre Dame is they really don't put up a whole lot of points. They're only averaging 34 points a game. I guess I'm a little not impressed. The reason why I'm not quite as impressed is I'm used to seeing Alabama at 50. So I guess 34 in the whole grand scheme of things that doesn't look like a whole lot. But however, their defense is only allowing 18.7 points per game, so they're pretty solid across the board. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they're able to corral Eric Dungy. So I'm going to be watching this very intently because I really want to see how good Notre Dame is.
And who's your pick? Notre Dame, isn't it?
That being said, what?
And your pick is Notre Dame.
Why you got to jump the gun? Why you got to jump the gun?
Well, you said that being said, you could pick Syracuse.
I mean, I could. You know, I could, but
that will help LSU out.
I think as much as everybody wants, it would help LSU out. But I think at the end of the day, even though everybody wants to see Notre Dame lose, I think they're going to end up pulling the game off.
Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, wins at home. Iowa State at Texas.
Interesting game to watch. Texas had a pretty good win this previous week against Texas Tech. Of course, again, there's no defense in the Big 12, so you didn't see any of that there. If you like points, then tune into the Big 12 because that's what you're going to get. Texas is playing a whole lot better, but they really are kind of hit or miss. And then Iowa State is one of those bunches that can be quite pesky, and they're quietly good. So if Texas isn't on, I think Iowa State can beat them. However, I'm going to go with the Longhorns.
Longhorns win. Cincinnati at UCF.
And this is where game day is. Number 12 UCF versus unranked Cincinnati. Both have 9-win season. Cincinnati's only lost one game. The highlight of UCF is Mackenzie Milton at quarterback, 2,309 yards, 21 touchdowns, averaging 44 points a game. They have a run back by committee show with Greg McRae and Adrian Killings Jr. And they're a pretty balanced offense. Nothing really flashy, nothing really exciting when watching them. They just get the job done. So they're very reliable. And then, let's see, Cincinnati's had a pretty decent season. Desmond Ryder is their quarterback, 1,897 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, and has an additional 486 yards rushing. So he's kind of a multidimensional quarterback. And then Michael Warren is the man at running back with 1,082 yards and 17 touchdowns. So, again, I think UCF is going to have their hands full with this team. Cincinnati is a pretty good team, one of the better teams in the American Conference. Definitely their division is the top-heavy division, clear separation between them and the other division where SMU leads. It's really interesting to see this because UCF, even though they're undefeated, they're not really winning by wide margins. They're not really just blowing teams out. And for a team that's just claiming to be the best team in the nation, they're really not showing a whole lot when it comes to separating themselves from their opponents. Their opponents really aren't much to speak of. I mean, and everybody wants to talk about how they went and played Pittsburgh. Seriously? Pittsburgh is your arguing point? Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're leading the Coastal in the ACC, a bad ACC team. They're one of the worst teams in the ACC other than UNC. Give me a break. But anyway, I think bar. At the end of the day, what now?
Eat a Kit Kat bar.
It's right. Anyway, I think UCF will win this game, and they'll probably win by 5 points.
UCF stays undefeated. Idaho at Florida.
Idaho at Florida. Wow. Funny, Idaho actually used to be an FBS team, but they moved down to FCS now, I guess due to some financial issues. I'm not really quite sure the whole story there. But even moving down to the FCS, they're still struggling. So this is going to be one of those little tune-up games for Florida as they go into the last game of the season against Florida State. Really shouldn't be any kind of problems for the Gators. If there are problems, then Dan Mullen needs to be reevaluated. So, but I don't see Florida having a problem.
Idaho is Florida Citadel.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe even easier.
Arizona State at Oregon.
Gonna be an interesting game. Oregon not playing particularly well this season. Definitely underplaying, according to what the experts were thinking going in. And Arizona State really is a dangerous team as well. If you don't handle your business against them, they can't sneak up and beat you. But I'm going to pull for the Ducks again. I really want them to win, and I've been pulling for them each week, and I think they get it done this week.
And finally, Citadel at Alabama.
Citadel at Alabama. Alabama obviously wins, and hopefully no one gets hurt. Hopefully everybody is pulled relatively early And I say Alabama wins 41-0.
41-0. Alabama stays undefeated. And who will start as quarterback?
Well, according to Nick Saban, we're going to see Tagovailoa. But hopefully he won't be in there very long, and hopefully all he'll really do is maybe throw a couple out routes to Irv Smith and then give us a heavy dose of hand the ball off to Damon Harris or Najee Harris or Josh Jacobs. But really needing to get him off that field pretty quick, and hopefully Jalen Hurts is back up to par and is able to go as well.
I think we'll see Mac Jones in action. You know, yes, I mean, 2 out might start, but I think Mac Jones might play for 3 quarters. Best case scenario for Justin?
I think that to expect anything less would be crazy. And after, doing a little bit of research this week, he has been getting the brunt of the workload there. He has been getting majority of the snaps. So I fully expect him to get majority of the playing time this Saturday.
We're seeing a lot from a third string quarterback for a big team this season. So Mac Jones, might be feeling very appreciated. Maybe could be a future starter for Alabama next year or in 2 years, whatever that plan is for the Nick Saban. Quick story: I was in New York this past weekend for a wedding, and I was actually in a train, and a homeless guy, was asking for money. And he saw a Michigan fan, and he said, "Well, I'm an Alabama fan. I'll see you in the championship." And I was cracking up. And what is what is the possibility of Alabama meeting Michigan in the championship final?
I think it's a very strong possibility. Of course, Alabama's success is going to be largely dependent on the health of Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, because if that offense is not able to score like they've been scoring here the majority of the season, it's going to be very tough sledding, especially against a Georgia team that's going to be ready to go and playing probably the best football they've played all season. And if you get past them, we're looking at a very strong Clemson team as well. So it's going to be really, really important to have Jalen and Tua at full strength come playoff time. That's saying, if we handle our business against Auburn and Georgia. But very, very possible. But then again, we need Michigan to do what they have been able to do the past several seasons, and that is finally put a stop to Ohio State. And then, of course, win the Big Ten, which shouldn't be an issue against Northwestern. Northwestern's a really good team, has a really good quarterback in Thorson, but very doable, very, very doable. If Michigan can pass the test against Ohio State, I feel like they can win that game against Northwestern, thus set up the possibility of Alabama versus Michigan, which I'd love to see.
If not, the current status is that Alabama will be facing Michigan in the first round of the playoffs. I think it's the Cotton Bowl, I think.
Yeah. So, the only way, I guess, Alabama will play Michigan in the national championship if there was some repositioning in the top four that last week by the playoff committee, which I really don't see them moving Clemson down at all. So, more than likely, we would get a matchup of Alabama against Michigan in the opening round.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll definitely keep an eye on this whole injury thing, and because teams like Citadel, you're able to sit starters and have a third string quarterback. I mean, maybe just have Mac Jones start, and then pull two out if they're in trouble, which I really doubt that will happen.
One would hope not, but don't tell Nick Saban anything about looking past Citadel at all. He'll tear you a new one, man.
That is, it's tough for me. It's interesting. It's really tough to be in this position as a coach, but they know a lot. They know all the behind the scenes we don't know. So things are really under wraps. But
absolutely, man. I mean, we're just armchair quarterbacks at the end of the day. We think we know a whole lot, but we don't when it comes to the grand scheme of things. Guys like Saban and Urban Meyer, so on and so forth, man. They get paid millions of dollars a year because they're the best at their craft, and they know what they're doing, and they've got the medal behind them in their trophy case that says so. So, you know, but it gives us all great talking points, you know, at the office or on podcasts or on social media. So, and it definitely keeps ESPN and others employed.
Exactly. Justin, how can people reach you?
I hope you win and yell like they did in Rocky. No, well, you can reach me at email 121training. That's number 121 spelled out training at gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook / 121training. On the other social media sites, Twitter and Instagram at 121training. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to have some discussion, whether it be about Alabama, college football as a whole, my disdain for UCF, fitness, or any other questions. So, you know, send them my way, and would love to have some contact. Definitely would love to continue to build this podcast going forward for the remainder of this football season and then going into next season as well.
Yes, you'll be talking about the NIT, right, when college basketball comes into play.
Well, hopefully not this year. Hopefully Coach Avery Johnson will have the Tide primed for another NCAA tournament bid and hopefully a little bit deeper of a run. But, hey, I was just jazzed we got there this past season, and a lot of that was due to the efforts of Colin Sexton, who is now one of the key scorers for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But definitely love to see Alabama back in the mix of things for the college basketball scene. It's been quite some time since the Crimson Tide has really been a significant player in college basketball. But hopefully this year will be that year. I love what Coach Johnson is doing. I've always been a big fan of his. And we'd love to see what we can do come tournament time. And maybe we can be the IT team of the SEC this year. Somebody needs to, after Duke just made Kentucky go to the corner and cry. Yes, Wildcat fans, I took a shot.
Well, anyways, yes, follow this. Please follow us here at the Sportscast. Please subscribe to us on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Justin, we'll talk UCF next week when we have more time. This week is a little bit crunched, but I appreciate you being on the Sportscast.
Man, I absolutely appreciate being on here every week, man. This is definitely the highlight of my week. Look forward to doing each and every week. A lot of fun. Definitely want to get into a discussion, debate about the whole UCF situation, especially after our wonderful discussion in our group chat yesterday. But looking forward to doing that. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And if you hadn't done so yet, download the Alabama Football Radio app that your boy Santiago Leon has created. Definitely makes the whole game day experience that much better, especially with Eli Gold calling. But anyway, have a great weekend. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.